Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Fusion Microfinance Q3 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Renish Bhuva from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Riya. Hi, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Fusion Microfinance Q3 FY24 earnings call. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I would like to thank the Fusion management team for giving us the opportunity to host this call. Today, we have with us the entire top management team of Fusion Microfinance, represented by Mr. Devesh Sachdev, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Gaurav Maheshwari, CFO, Mr. Tarun, CEO of Microfinance Business, and Mr. Deepak Madan, Company Secretary and Chief Compliance Officer. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Devesh for his opening remarks, and then we'll open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Renish, and ICICI Securities for hosting us. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining Fusion's Q3 financial year 2024 results conference call. I am here along with my colleagues Tarun, COO MFI, Gaurav, my CFO, Deepak Madan, my Chief Compliance Officer and IR. We had a very strong Q3 in terms of disbursements, customer acquisition, improvement in collection efficiency, NIM expansion, and network expansion, which is leading to healthy return ratios and robust capitalization. We had a slightly higher-than-guided credit cost, which I will cover in detail during this call. Request you to keep the presentation, which we uploaded, handy as I take you through the key highlights of the quarter. I would like to start with slide number 5 and 6 of the executive summary. Our AUM has grown by 23.57% year-on-year and 6.65% quarter-on-quarter to 10,693 crore. This was supported by highest-ever disbursements of rupees 2,713 crore in this quarter, which is approximately 16% growth over the previous quarter. We have achieved this growth despite calibrating our growth in a couple of geographies, maintaining one of the lowest ticket sizes in the industry. Our diversified presence allows us the levers to grow in a very balanced manner. As guided earlier, we are on track to deliver an AUM growth of mid-20s in financial year 2024. Our network has expanded to 1,242 branches across 22 states after the addition of 78 new branches in Q3 FY24. 70% of the new branches added have been in non-top five states. We have added 1.83 lakh new customers in Q3 and 4.23 lakh customers YTD in this financial year. Our total customer base as of Q3 2024 is close to 3.8 million, having grown 11.2% year-on-year. This is in line with our stated 10%-12% increase every year in the new customer acquisition. Another key highlight of this quarter was our credit rating upgrade, also from ICRA CARE to A+ stable. Now we are A+ stable from all three of our rating agencies, namely CRISIL, ICRA, and CARE. Strengthened by our rating upgrade in early October and continuous engagement with our lending partners, our marginal cost of borrowing further reduced by 10 basis points quarter-on-quarter to 10.45%. In the coming years, we will look to further diversify our liability mix to reduce the share of bank lending. As we have been guiding that our NIM will expand to 11.2%-11.5%, our NIM now has increased to 11.54%, registering a 42 basis points increase over the last quarter. We have maintained healthy NIM while offering one of the lowest rates to our customers in the sector. We will be sharing a steady-state guidance on the NIM in the Q1 of financial year 2025, as we have been saying this in the past. While we continue to build capacity, we have our focus on improving our cost-to-income, which for the first 9 months of financial year 2024 stands at 36.5%, an improvement of 291 basis points year on year. There was a marginal quarter on quarter increase in cost to income on account of network expansion done in Q2 and Q3, which will add to the productivity in coming years. Last but not the least, we have delivered a PAT of 126.45 crore for Q3 financial year 24, which is up by 23.4% over Q3 FY23. And our 9th month FY24 PAT of 372.6 crore registered a year-on-year increase of 36.67%. Now, I would give an update on collection efficiency and credit cost. Please look at the slide number 8. Our collection efficiency has steadily improved over the last 6 quarters, with Q3 collection efficiency inching up to 97.9% and to 98.4% if we exclude Punjab. In the Q2 call, we had mentioned about lower collections in 3 states apart from Punjab, namely Rajasthan, Gujarat and Haryana. We are seeing improvement in collections in Rajasthan and Gujarat. Haryana collections have stabilized in Q3. In our Q1 and Q2 earnings calls, we were one of the first companies to flag off some of the challenges we were seeing in Punjab. Punjab and Haryana states have unfortunately been impacted by external events in succession over the last years. It started with COVID wave 1 and 2, followed by farmers' agitation in Punjab that went on for more than a year, and recent rains and floods, what we have mentioned in Q1, created an adverse impact on our customers' ability to generate livelihood versus pre-COVID-19. To add to the immense impact that these events created on income generation activity of borrowers, last few months there have been some mischievous campaign in Punjab, misleading the innocent and our customers with illegal and unfounded claims of waivers. Due to the increased stress, which is visible now, we have specifically called out the share of Punjab portfolio in our overall AUM in slide number 9. As of December 23, the share of Punjab in our overall AUM stands at 3.257%. Collection efficiency is at 84.4%. Our January 24 PAR 60 plus in Punjab has, you know, increased to around 20%. Our collection efficiency and PAR 60 X of Punjab remain within a healthy range. We are taking many steps, which has been mentioned in the slide, starting, you know, even the MFIN has met Finance Minister of Punjab and to apprise of all the issues which are coming in, especially some of the districts. We have stopped fresh disbursement in Punjab, as we have mentioned in slide 9. We are in a wait and watch mode, and whatever I think the drop in the collection efficiency, you know, which was possible, which has already happened in January, now it has stabilized at a certain level. So moving to slide number 10, our GNPA as of quarter 3, financial year 24, stands at 3.04%, net NPA at 0.77%, which has increased from Q2, majorly because of Punjab. Our credit cost net of recoveries for Q3 stands at 0.94%, and we expect to close the year with a net credit cost of up to 3.5%, which will take care of major impact of this state. We have progressively shifted 80.5 crore of assets from stage 1 to stage 3 to take care of potential slippages. In our previous calls, we had guided that we are creating management overlay as a buffer for exceptional geographical issues. Accordingly, in Q3, we have released 20.18 crore from management overlay to normalize the impact of stress caused by Punjab. The management overlay as of December end stands at 41.5 crore. It is important to note that despite the elevated net credit cost of 2.47 in 9 months financial year 24, our 9 months FY24 ROA is 4.87% and ROE is 19.75% remains healthy. This demonstrates robustness of our business model. Now I would like to update on our geographical diversification, branch mix, average ticket size, performance and key operational parameters, and brief on our MSME business. Diversification has been one of our key strategies for growth since inception, which has helped us to grow our presence in 22 states across 1,242 branches as of Q3 financial year 24. We continue to remain committed to our diversification journey through expansion in newer states like Karnataka, Andhra, and Telangana. Over the last
year, there are more than 20 parties in the conference.
Over the last year, the concentration of our top 5 states has increased to 70.4%. This is an account of good traction and healthy portfolio performance we have seen in these states, and being an established player gives us better scalability and productivity. However, for the long term, we remain steadfast on our strategy of diversification as shared earlier. As highlighted in slide 19, we have opened 156 branches in 9 months, financial year 24. We are targeting to reach approximately 200 branches in financial year 24. While on the point of branch network, I wish to take you to the slide 23, where you will see we have very good mix of vintage and new branches, which is very strong operating lever for our future growth. 510, which is 44% of our branches, are less than 3 years old, which contribute to just 29% of our AUM. This will improve as the branches get seasoned and aid our AUM growth. Our average outstanding per borrower stood at ₹27,200 in December 23 as per MFIN data. This is one of the lowest in the industry. Slide 21 captures our key productivity metrics. Our GLP per branch has been following a consistent growth trajectory and now stands at 8.9 crore per branch as of Q3 financial year 24 versus 8.2 crore as of financial year as of Q2 financial year 24. GLP per RO at 1.3 crore, clients per branch of 3,260 remain one of the best in the sector. Moving to slide 37, which gives an update on MSME vertical, which was started in December 2019 with a vision of building credit underwriting capabilities to tap into the potential missing middle, mapping adjacencies, and serving MFI customers which are moving up the value chain. Happy to share that this book now has a portfolio of 461 crore, which is 4.3% of our overall AUM. 60% of this book out of this 461 crore is secured. We have been guiding that we would like to maintain portfolio mix of 65% to 70% secured and 30 to 35% unsecured in MSME to balance risk and return, and we are absolutely on track. We are confident of reaching this mix in the next 3 quarters. Would like to mention again that we'll share our broad growth strategy on both verticals in Q1 of financial year 25. Having shared the highlights of our Q3 financial year 24 performance with you, I would like to reiterate again, our goal always is to maintain a long-term view on building our businesses, setting a strong and consistent growth platform, transparency and sustainability. Thank you very much.
Good morning, everyone. Would like to give some key highlights on Q3 FY24. Core interest income of the company has increased by 8.70% on quarter-on-quarter basis. And on a year-on-year basis, it is a 28.50% growth. The total income has also increased to 7.35% on quarter-on-quarter basis and 31.45% on year-on-year basis. Our marginal cost of fund has further reduced to 10 BPS on quarter-on-quarter basis and 75 BPS on year-on-year basis, aided by our focused approach on optimizing the cost of fund. Our endeavor would be continue to work on the optimizing our cost of fund. CARE and ICRA has also upgraded our long-term rating to A+, followed by CRISIL, who has done it in the month of November. This would help us tapping the capital market and ECB exposure to diversify our funding base. The NIM for the quarter is increased by 42 BPS from Q2, and it has increased by 123 BPS on a year-on-year basis. It is as per our guidance provided earlier. As on 31st December, the pre-provision PPOP is ₹260.26 crores, increased by 41.62% on a year-on-year basis and 7.64% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. The cost to income has marginally increased by 39 BPS from 36.41% Q2 FY24 to 36.80% Q3 FY24. The operating cost increased by 24 BPS on a quarter-on-quarter basis. This increase is due to opening of 78 branches in this quarter pan-India. Also, due to the addition of 1,155 additional manpower in this quarter. Operating cost for MFI business is 5.45% and MSME business contributes 0.48% for the quarter. Please refer slide number 10. The ECL as on December 31st is INR 311.85 crores, which includes management overlay of 41.50 crores. The overall coverage stands at 106%. The net credit cost for 9 months FY24 stands at 2.47% on average on-book portfolio. For the quarter, the credit cost is 0.96% on a closing portfolio. We are confident for closing the FY24 with a net credit cost of up to 3.5%. The company has done write-off of 81.31 crores in Q3, which is 0.84% on the closing portfolio. Due to this write-off, we have de-recognized the interest amounting to INR 18.75 crores. The management overlay we have created till last quarter was 61.48 crores. As mentioned in our previous call, it was mainly created to mitigate the impact of any future risk. During this quarter, the company has decided to use the management overlay up to 20 crores to writing off 270 plus days DPD for largely pertaining to Punjab. We have provided, as Devesh has mentioned, from stage 1 to stage 3, there is a shift of a portfolio. By this shift, we have provided approximately 16% of the Punjab portfolio to the provisioning. The gross stage 3 stands at 3.04%, which is the gross NPA, and the net stage is 0.77%. This is from the financial side. Thank you.
Should we begin the question and answer session?
Yes, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Piran Engineer from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning and congrats on the quarter. Am I audible?
Yes, Piran. Good morning.
Yeah. Hi, Devesh. Hi. Just a couple of things. One is any further recognition left in for asset quality issues in Punjab or maybe the neighboring state of Haryana?
Yeah. So, Piran, we have front-loaded some of the pain. But if you see, our guidance is up to 3.5%. So our endeavor is that whatever the pain we take it in this quarter and the Q4, so that we can start the new financial year on a clean slate.
Okay, and this 3.5% credit cost, does it include any more drawdowns from the overlay buffer?
We are not hoping for that. We would like that whatever we have dipped in the management overlay, we would not like to use it now in the next quarter.
Got it. Okay, that's helpful. And just secondly, some of your competitors have passed on yield improvement, have passed on yields to their customers by about 50-60 bips. Any such thought process from our front on this?
So, we are very clear, we have been saying this, that if we see that once the pivot happens, we are reaching a certain steady state of NIM, ROA and ROE, once we see that there is some benefit which is coming from the rate of interest, cost of fund, we would definitely like to optimize customer sensitivity of the regulator and the shareholder value. Right now, I don't think we are today one of the lowest in terms of cost to the customer in the sector. So right now there is no such plan. But once the pivot happened, we will look at it, and you know, maybe in the Q1 we have mentioned that we'll give some guidance, but right now there is no such plan.
Okay, fair enough. That answers my questions. Thank you and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Raghav Garg from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I was listening that you are still expecting some kind of slippages in 4Q from Punjab and Haryana. And if I look at the credit cost for the nine-month period, I think that comes to on an annualized basis somewhere around 3.5%, or slightly more than that, as per my calculations at least. How is it that you're guiding for a 3.5% credit cost for the full year? Shouldn't it be slightly higher, unless you're expecting that the credit cost will normalize to 3.1% in 4Q? Is that the case?
No, sir. Rather, what we need to see that how the situation is being developing at the state of Punjab. So if we see the last 10 to 12 days of collection patterns, so it is getting stabilized. So what we are hoping, as Devesh has mentioned in his earlier remarks, that we are engaging with the ministry level at a Punjab administration, so they have extended some help. So we are hoping that situation will not get deteriorated. If there is a deterioration, so because our Punjab portfolio is not that large enough to have a further major pain which is going to come in. So that's the way we are looking at the things. So situation is evolving, and January collections has stabilized now in last couple of days, as I have mentioned. So that is why we have given a up to credit cost of 3.5% as a guidance.
Deepak, I think thanks for that explanation, but the only question was that do you expect that your credit cost will be around 3% in 4Q? Because your full year guidance seems to imply so.
Sorry, come back again.
I'm asking whether your 4Q credit cost will be around 3%, because your full year guidance of 3.5% seems to suggest so.
No, so Raghav, that is what we are saying, that the situation is evolving in Punjab. So it would be very difficult to say that it would be a 3% cost. But what we can assure you, the major of the pain is being taken care in this quarter. If there is an incremental slippage of maybe some sort of portfolio. And second, if you see that the number which we have given is of December, one, we see what is our, because there is a rundown in January which has already happened in Punjab portfolio. The number which is 382, it has run down to 362 already. So because we are not doing incremental disbursement, and apart from that, the situation is getting stabilized. So that is why we have restricted to slightly on a higher side on the credit cost at FY24.
Understood. And just one last very generic question. Any other pockets of stress that you would like to highlight outside of, say, North or anywhere else, wherever, you know?
No.
So next year should be a largely normalized credit cost year for you of around...
Absolutely. That will be our endeavor. We were actually moving on the right direction, though there was some hump. So we, as a transparent company, we thought let's front load this in this quarter, and if there's anything... we can take in the Q4. We expect a normalized credit cost starting next year, next financial year.
Understood. And also, can you give us your top five states breakup in terms of the loan book outstanding? Is that something that you can do?
Yeah. So we are, it's at 70.4% in the top five states.
No, what I meant is your top five states. Can you give us the loan book breakup by each state of the top five states?
By percentage?
No, yeah. By absolute amounts.
Yeah, we can give that. So UP is 2,326. Bihar is 2,104 crore. Odisha is 1,217. Madhya Pradesh is 969. Tamil Nadu is 685. These are our top five states.
Okay. Thank you, and that's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. Next question is from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you and good morning everyone. Sir, I was away for some time, so I mean, excuse me if you've already answered this. I can always listen to the recording, but just wanted to understand, have you explained already what exactly is the nature of problem today in Punjab and Haryana? Why I ask this is, when we read about this on media, right, I mean, we get to hear something else, when we kind of do some channel checks, try to understand that from M3, we get to hear something else. But given that you are going through this, right, if you could just elaborate on what exactly is happening in Punjab and Haryana.
So, look, Abhijit, we have already mentioned it, but again, no problem. I'll just again mention this. Look, post-COVID-1 and COVID-2, Punjab, Haryana, and, you know, Rajasthan, and these states were slightly slow in coming back, okay? What happened was, after that, there was a big farmer agitation, we all know, which hit Punjab and some parts of Haryana. After that, once this was, you know, subside, then floods, which we have highlighted in Q1. Now, situation in Haryana is stabilized. We do not see any risk. Also, let me just tell you, our Haryana portfolio is 250 odd crore, which is less than, around 2% of our book. Punjab is 382, which has now come down to 362. It's close to 3% portfolio. Punjab specifically, in some of the districts, after this flood issue, some mischievous elements started doing this whole loan waiver campaign, by which people stopped. Actually, our boys were not allowed to even enter some of the villages. Collection efficiency has come down to 84%, you know, as we have mentioned in slide number 9 in Punjab. What we have, also the steps we have, so that's the situation. These are restricted. We have 55 branches. We actually had 42. 13 branches were split to increase the monitoring. We actually calibrated our, you know, strategy of going slow in Punjab. And then we stopped the disbursement in the impacted branches. Then finally we took a call in end December to disburse, you know, to actually stop disbursement in every branch. Now we have strengthened our, as we mentioned, telecalling, overall infra of our collection. We are reaching out to customers. And MFIN, we have met the finance minister of Punjab and some of the finance minister is trying to help us. So what we have seen is that whatever the collection dip was there, now that has got stabilized. So that is what gives us confidence. That is the reason we front-loaded some of the pain. And we are confident that we will be able to manage the credit cost within the 3.5%, up to 3.5% for this financial year.
Okay, sir. This is useful. And sir, and have you also kind of shared, I mean, sir, before I move to the next question, just wanted to kind of reconfirm, when you said some mischievous elements after the floods had started this loan waiver campaign, fair to assume here that this loan waiver campaign does not have the support of the political machinery of Punjab?
Oh, not at all. Not at all.
Got it.
Even the finance minister was also surprised to see. And let me also tell you, this loan waiver is not only for microfinance, for all loans. It is for all loans, all bank loans, every loan. So it is not specifically for microfinance. Microfinance being a vulnerable, so some of these customers are misled. Otherwise, it's not only for this thing, and there is no political support, what we know, for any party for this kind of campaign.
Gotcha. This is useful. And sir, then maybe one last question from my side is, have you also shared, I mean, the stage 1, stage 2, stage 3 of the Punjab portfolio, which you said is around 360 crores now. Have you also given the split of the stage 1, stage 2, and stage 3 for Punjab portfolio?
So,
we have not given the split of stage 1, stage 2, stage 3 for Punjab, but we can provide you if it is being required.
We'll provide you separately.
Yeah.
Great, sir. And that is also my side. Thank you so much and all the very best to you and your team.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shweta from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Couple of questions. So Tamil Nadu also forms one of your top state exposures, and one of our largest peers has seen the impact of floods there. So any such trouble for us in that particular state?
Good morning. So, see, Tamil Nadu, yes, there were rains and floods, and there have been series of rains and floods. But actually, we have about 102 branches in Tamil Nadu, and only about 19 to 20 of those branches were in the areas where we had experienced these. So for us, yes, there were very, marginal phases of impact, but the Tamil Nadu portfolio has bounced back. And actually, we've seen that, the not only has it stabilized, it started to also inch upwards to improve. So really, for us, I think Tamil Nadu is behind us now in terms of whatever little impact that it had, because it was a very small number of branches that we had impacted by rains.
Understood, sir. So secondly, in terms of yields, so while you did mention that there will be recalibration of yields going forward as you move towards optimization, but what is the on-book yields today, and what is the sort of IRR for the customers?
The average is around 23%.
Okay. And IRR would be?
So the IRR would be, you can add 1.25% as a LPF. So you can calculate that X IRR, that what would be
that. That is for 2 years, so you can say,
Okay. Noted, sir. So last question is, so you made a fleeting mention that 16% is Punjab provision because there have been movements between stage 1 to stage 2. I sort of didn't get that clearly. Can you just repeat?
So, Shweta, as we move, because in a stage 1, you have a lesser provision requirement as far as the ECL model is concerned. So because of the situation which is being demanding, so we have shifted certain portfolio from stage 1 to stage 3. So earlier, this provision was not as covering, it was as low as like maybe 4% of the total portfolio. By moving that 80 crores of portfolio to stage 3, this number now increased on a closing portfolio to 16%, because the larger
Punjab portfolio.
Yeah, and the larger share because now sitting in the stage 3. So that is why it has given us an amount of 16% on the Punjab portfolio as a provision.
Right, sir. And one last question. So what is your ROA target for next quarter, given that you have already front-loaded this Punjab impact? Also, what are you looking at cross-cycle ROAs over, say, next three to five years? Thank you.
Sure. Shweta, we have been guiding this since we went to the street first time, 4.25 to 4.5% ROA guidance cross-cycle. An ROE of 18 to 20%. That is what we have been guiding consistently over the last 18 months.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you so much, sir, for the elaborate answers.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Rajiv Mehta from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Congrats on delivering good results despite the issues in Punjab. And thank you for taking my questions. So the first question is, sir, what scenario of collection efficiency in Punjab will make us miss our credit cost guidance? So can you mention the level of collection efficiency below which we will miss our guidance of credit cost?
No, look, we have already done some estimation. This all decision of front loading was also taken looking at the January number. So I can tell you from 84 collection efficiency, 84% in December, there was a 5-6 percentage point drop in the first few days of January. After that, it has stabilized.
Okay.
So I think, so that is why, otherwise we would have given a, so that's what we are trying to do as a transparent company, that
okay.
We have seen that, And I am hoping that the situation will not go down from here. Also, Rajiv, the portfolio is, overall, there's a runoff which is happening on the portfolio. There's a 20 crore runoff that has already happened. As Gaurav has mentioned, 16% of the Punjab book has already been covered under this. So I don't see any challenge now.
Okay. And hypothetically, if the situation gets arrested at the current collection efficiency, then in that case, would any additional provision be required in that case, what we have budgeted for already in the credit cost, but would that materialize?
I think let's wait for, we'll look at this quarter and we'll see. But otherwise, whatever we could estimation we could do, looking at the collection efficiency, customer behavior and the portfolio and the loss estimation, I think we have already factored in this quarter and the next quarter, Rajiv. So, but yeah, it's always a moving number, but we are hopeful and confident that this is, I don't think we will go much beyond this number.
Okay, clear, sir. And on this, we have also mentioned in one of the slides that we have stopped customer addition in whole of Punjab. Right. So would it have any impact on the momentum that we have seen in Q3? We have seen good momentum in customer addition disbursements. Would there be any impact of it, or should we assume that the momentum in customer addition disbursements, which is revived, will keep on continuing?
It will keep on continuing because we were, Rajiv, that's what I mentioned in my commentary. We actually had to calibrate our growth in three states. We went slow in three states. In spite of that, look at on our overall network of 1100 branches in the, in Q3, we could still, grow. We've done overall disbursement of 2700 crore. So that has already been factored in. Other branches will contribute. So there is, the momentum will not break.
Understood. And just last thing on the new customer being added. The profile in terms of we being the first or the second lender, that profile is intact in terms of the uniqueness, the unique relationship with the borrower?
More or less similar. Ajay, we have mentioned earlier also that every 6 months we share the data. We share the data in September. So we'll share again after the Q4 results. We'll take a fresh this thing, but more or less there is not much change. But more granular data, which we have already provided in, after the September result, we'll provide again after Q4.
Got it, sir. Thank you for answering my questions and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pranav Gupta from INES Alpha Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Pranav.
Yes. Hi, good morning. Good morning, sir, and congratulations on a good set of numbers despite the problems in Punjab. Just a couple of questions. So, if you look at disbursement ticket size, you had mentioned last quarter as well that we've taken a change in stance and we've started to increase the first cycle disbursement ticket size slightly. Albeit it's lower than the industry, but when I look at this increase over the last few quarters, is it a function of the changes that we made, or is it a function of, is it more a function of our customers moving from, say, a first cycle to a second cycle or second cycle to third cycle? How should one look at that?
So one, we have not done any change in this quarter. Whatever change we have previously communicated stands. We have not tinkered with any cycle, loan sizes and cycles after that. But you are right, this is a combination of both customer retention and some combination. It's a calibrated this thing. So that's it. It's a combination of both.
Right. And just in continuation to that question, if you look at the expansion that we did, that we've done over the last 9 months, we've added almost 150 odd branches. Two questions there. One is, can you talk about, any, apart from, say, new states being added like Telangana and AP, have you looked at deepening presence in any specific states? This quarter we added almost 1,200 odd ROs as well. So again, is it state specific? Is it deepening presence in any particular state, or is it just a broad based increase? And lastly, just could you give the breakup of out of these 156 odd branches added, how many of them were through splitting and how many were new branches?
Yes. So just to answer the first question, the expansion, like Devesh had mentioned earlier, 70% of the expansion has come in non-top 5 states, right? So it tells you that we've also looked at deepening some of the states which were outside of top 5, but significantly in our earlier distinct discussion, the previous quarters, we said about our forays in AP and Telangana and also the fact that we had entered Karnataka. So 67 branches out of these 156 came into these three states. And other than that, we looked at deepening some of the existing states. So that is really how our expansion combination has been. Now, looking at this question of saying the split states, so yes, in our overall portfolio, if we look at it today, close to about 130-140 branches are, what we had typically split more from a monitoring standpoint. And that is a strategy which Devesh had mentioned that consciously, we'd also done in Punjab in early part of this financial year, more from a monitoring standpoint. So, 13 states we had split just to be able to monitor more intensely the portfolio. But overall, in the country, there are about 132 branches which are split out of the total 1155.
Because, Pranav, if you look at our branch per district is around 1.6. If you compare with the sector, it's more. So as we mentioned, we are now in the deepening strategy. Other than the new states which we have entered, we will keep on splitting the branches which crossed a certain AUM size or a customer number of customers.
Right. So just one last question from my end. Through COVID as well, we've continued our expansion into new states, the new geographies, so continue to open branches. That's aided us in acquiring new customers through the COVID period as well, while the industry was sort of subdued. When we look at the last, say, 12 to 15 months, we've again continued with that journey of expansion, like you always mentioned, in trying to sort of diversify geographically. Is it fair to assume that that this expansion now and the branch split that we have, where 41% of branches are still contributing relatively lower share into AUM, should one assume that this should impact cost ratios positively going forward as, operating leverage kicks in over the next, over a more longer term, over the next 2-3 years? How should one look at the cost ratios?
Absolutely. But look, that's what we have been saying, that there are 2-3 things I would like to mention here. That one, standalone microfinance are operating expenses, or you see cost to income, we are already very, very competitive. We will be, if I take out the MSME piece, we will be around 32-33% cost to income. So that is one. Second is, as we are mentioning, we are trying to calibrate between the future and managing the cost. We have a calibrating our overall strategy even on the number of customers handled by the field officer to have a better control on the portfolio. So you are right. We will optimize this thing, but yes, over the next two to three years, and also we are investing. We will be adding good number of branches even the coming year, which we will give some guidance in financial year, in Q1 of 25. However, we will try to balance both cost to income and the growth and everything. And yes, over a period of time, you will see once these getting stabilized and the branch expansion will be to not that kind of percentage, that level, you will see the costs definitely operating levers, playing out.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much for patiently answering all the questions. And good luck for future quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. Next question is from the line of Umang Shah from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for taking my question. Just a couple of them. One, credit cost, right? I mean, let's say on a more steady state basis, when you guide for a 425 to 450 basis points of ROA, I mean, what are the credit costs that you are credit cost assumptions that you are baking in, and more closer for FY25, would you like to guide for any credit cost number?
Yeah, Umang, hi, good morning. So we will guide for this in Q1 25, that what are the kind of overall cross cycle ROA, ROE, credit cost. We will. But yeah, endeavor would be to really be more, much better than what we have achieved. But you will see a better numbers going forward, Umang. But we'll give some guidance. But we are very confident of having a better number. And there were slightly, you know, in any journey, there's some bumps. But I think that is what the benefit we have as a diversified company. You know, we are able to even calibrate some of these things. We are able to calibrate, you know, even the issues in some of the part of the state in a much better way and still grow. But yeah, coming to your point again, we would definitely like this to be better, credit cost to be much lower, but we'll give a guidance in Q1.
Sure. Right. No, appreciate that, Devesh. I was coming from the point of view that clearly in our earlier conversations, we have spoken about a 4.5% ROA. You guys are well above that. But clearly at that point of time, the thought process was that at the same time, we will be building some buffers on the balance sheet. Now, I appreciate that clearly Punjab is a one-off sort of a situation. But given that we are widely diversified compared to our peers, right? I mean, given that Punjab is a classic example, right? I mean, there could be a possibility that maybe at regular intervals we might have a marginal stake which can cause some troubles to us, and probably that can keep our credit costs elevated for a much longer period. Is that a possibility? I know it's difficult to kind of foresee at this point of time, but probably should we assume that that is a cost of kind of diversification? And also, I mean, the second part to it is, I was just looking at the vintage curve of our branches, right? I mean, clearly the share of younger branches within the overall mix continues to go down, but on the AUM or the POS side, clearly, we are actually getting more concentrated in top five states, right? So I'm not too sure how to read this whole diversification thing, both from growth perspective as well as from an asset quality perspective.
No, one. So coming to your point, look, I understand that, you know, top five states are 70%, but yeah, because of this, because you know, I can tell you, Mang, there was a point where. If I can talk about 2 years back, one and a half, 18 months back, Punjab was top five state for us. So yeah, there has been a, look, there is no straight answer, but in our experience, diversification always helps. If you are diversified both from the growth, from the risk, I think, and that's what we are seeing even in this thing, that even there's an issue in one state, we are able to calibrate it better. But I will still stick to this diversification strategy. Also, if you see, even in Punjab, it is basically more district, some districts which have got impacted. So it's not the full state. So I think we have a overall district strategy of not being more than 4% in any district. Highest district today is 1.59%. So yes, I think we are very confident that this strategy will play out. Coming again to your point that, you know, some other state can, you know, look, definitely nobody can predict it. However, I can talk about two, three things. One is that's the reason we started making management overlay. And that is why, because it's an exceptional situation, we dipped into management overlay. Whenever there's an opportunity, we will keep on building these management overlays. That is one. Second is, RBI has now since 22, it's a risk-based pricing. So we are able to have a certain different yields in the states where we see the risk is higher, which will make sure that we are able to deliver the ROA and ROE, cross-cycle ROA, which we are promising.
Okay. Sure. Thanks. And just one last question now on this yield part. I think you already in some of the previous questions, you have already answered this, but just wanted to pick your brains again between this whole growth and margin dynamics, right? So, I mean, some of the other microfinance NBFCs have started cutting yields. Now, clearly, we were kind of still competitive even at our current yield level. But do you foresee that at some point in time, pressure on yields might start coming through, and assuming that if we don't kind of pass on the benefits of operating leverage, probably growth might take a backseat, or you are confident enough to kind of to maintain this whole growth and margin mix where we are today? Yeah, that's my last
question. I have already answered this point earlier, that we are going to optimize between shareholder, customer, and the sensitivity of the regulator. We are right now, we did not burn the ocean when the pricing was deregulated. We are one of the lowest cost to the customer. We will optimize it whenever there is any pivot which happens. But we will be able to maintain this whole margin between growth, margin, and ROAs. So we will be very confident. I don't think, Umang, there is any question mark on this point.
All right. Great. Thank you so much for patiently answering my question. Thank you, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Himanshu Taluja from Aditya Birla Sun Life AMC Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Just few questions at my end. So when we look at the collection efficiency excluding Punjab of 98.4, congratulations for that. This is what you are trying to signal in the previous quarters, that you will going to deliver some improvement. That's the path clearly visible. So if I look at your net NPL addition excluding the Punjab impact of 80 crores, which looks around 50-55 crores, which is mean 2.2% of the slippage ratio. Do you think with this collection efficiency of 98, this is a more sustainable nature of the slippage ratio one should expect?
So, Himanshu, to address this question is that there is a pool which is available beyond 90 plus, which might get eligible for a write-off, but the range would be between 1.75% to 2% of gross NPA, which is sustainable. As we have mentioned previously, that this business is having a steady state gross NPA between 1.5 to 1.8%. It is going to be continuing.
Yeah. Thanks. Second question, I need few clarification on the Punjab. Has you completely sold the incremental disbursement to the entire state of Punjab or only to the few affected districts? And how do we, one should see this 380 crore of portfolio, Punjab portfolio, is it going to slow, will be a declining trend from here?
Yeah. So, Himanshu, we have stopped complete disbursement in December. As I mentioned earlier, the portfolio which was 382 crore as of December has already come down to 362 crore. We are right now in a wait and watch mode. If we see that there are customers which have been paying us well, they want to renew the relationship, we will definitely would look at it. But for that, we have to be confident the situation is improving. So otherwise, right now, it is at a wait and watch mode. And the whole focus is only on engagement, working with administration, and collection.
Sure. And sir, in this nature of the business, when you slow down or stop the disbursement, you generally tend to see slightly more slippages happening from here. Do you envisage any risk from the remaining 360, and if I include this 80 crore of the stage 3 of the remaining portfolio, do you envisage any risk of further slippages from there?
No, that's what I'm saying, that we have taken this decision based on looking at the last 10 days collection efficiency in the month of January. So we do not see that the collection efficiency will go down from there. It has more or less stabilized at a certain level, which is 5-6% less than what we have mentioned in our slide. So we are hoping, but you're right. I mean, you have to be very mindful. So situation is fluid, but we are keeping an eye on it. But that's the call we had to take because the situation was slightly exceptional. We will update if any there is another development.
Okay. And how, sir, lastly, just the last question, how one should see our, what's your guidance on the growth from here of the entire portfolio? Do you still expect to deliver for FY25 as well around 25% sort of a growth?
Yeah, we are. That's what we have mentioned. But mid-20s, yes. Mid-20s is the growth which we have been guiding and we will, and how both the verticals, both MFI and MSME will grow, we will give a more clear, granular information in Q1.
Okay, sure. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Renish Bua from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So just one question from my side. This is more related to Punjab again. So let's say, do we understand, the state level issue and it's not a company specific issue, but, as a company, what are the corrective measures we are taking to make sure that, collection efficiency at least holds up at current level and it should not deteriorate from, current level? I mean, as a company, what we are doing to sustain this collection efficiency?
So one, we have split the branches, we've increased the, strengthened the field, we have telecalling is happening. We are working and through various methods, we are trying to reach out to the customers actually educate them about this mischievous element. Dedicated collection is happening. So I think whatever we could do, we are trying to even use some of the good customers to talk to the other customers that look, I mean, this will actually impact their credit bureau score. So we are doing, all these steps are happening other than what is happening at a sector level. There has been some advertisement which has come out from the sector, from MFIN. As I mentioned to you, MFIN delegation has met Finance Minister. We could see some action soon.
It is also if you see, Renish, in slide number 9, we have mentioned all this.
Yes, yes. So I just wanted to get a sense at the ground level. So let's say, what is the center attendance or let's say, do we have allocated any senior, resources to look after only Punjab collection? So just wanted to have some granular details about it, if you can share.
Yes, Renish. So now there are two, Fusion Microfinance veterans of senior level who were looking at Punjab, also the fact that, senior level AVP is regularly monitoring the situation at Punjab. To add to what Devesh just said, so the entire dedicated collections team as well as the business team, is focused on not only looking at daily collections but also going across and meeting up with customers. We are also using local level, people who've been with us over the last few years in terms of impressing upon the others about this mischievousness of this particular scheme and the impact it may have on their credit discipline and credit bureau scores and so on and so forth and future possibility of getting loans from any finance company or bank for that matter. So, there is complete focus on ensuring that there is normal kind of discipline coming in. Like Devesh mentioned, last 10 days we've seen decent stabilization and we hope with all the efforts that along with MFIN that we are making, that will start showing results in due course.
Yeah, I mean, that was my last follow-up. So basically, whatever we are doing at the ground, do we see some sort of initial improvement at the collection or center attendance level, maybe in first half of February?
So there has been stabilization. Now, in such a situation, we expect there will be people had taken a decision which they were misled. So coming back to normal, they will also come back little bit more slowly and gradually. But the good part is that we have not seen deterioration in the last 10 days. That's what Gaurav also mentioned in his opening remarks about Punjab. So that has been a positive.
Got it. Okay. That's it from my side, sir. Thank you very much, sir. And best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rajiv Pathak from GC Holding. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, good morning, sir. Just one question on the vintage. So if you look at our branch vintages over the past 2 years, and taking a point-to-point view, the 2 years plus kind of branches have gone up, I count, by 40% in absolute numbers. Similar is the increase in the number of customers that we do. But the average ticket is going up by 20%. So, and it is also evident from the fact that your branch contribution of the 2 years plus to the portfolio in terms of the number of branches would be around, say, 72%, whereas the contribution is 87% in terms of the AUM. So slightly there has been some conservativeness on the ticket front, and rightly so. But what could this be attributed to? Would it be the shift in the mix of the top five states, or you being conservative in some of the geographies? And that being the case, if things turn out to be normal in FY25, do you have a case for a slightly higher ticket for your vintage customers, you know, and feeding into the cost efficiencies from this part?
Yeah, sorry, more than, so if I look at this breakup, I think more or less, I think this is a, if you see between 2 to 3 years, branches are 185, they contribute around 16%. More than 3 years are contributing 71%. More or less, that has been the ratio. But coming to your point, Rajiv, look, we are right now not, we are calibrating our strategy in terms of how do we retain our customers, especially when customers are maturing. And so we will share some of these more details in Q1 of 25. But keeping in mind our broad philosophy of marrying risk and growth, I think that is what we will keep in mind. And anything which we'll do to make sure that, you know, we are portfolio quality definitely remains impeccable. So that will be our strategy.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question of the day. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone. We remain committed for a long term. I think that's what we are, the kind of building blocks we are building. So thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.